Hey, thanks so much for tuning in online today. I'm so glad that you did, and I'm looking forward to what God is going to do in our time together today. And God has been doing a great work in our church over the last several days. And even yesterday, we had several different teams going out and delivering groceries to people in need in our church and in our community. And it was so awesome to see their faces and to see how God is still encouraging and doing a work in their lives. And so I just want to say thank you so much for your generosity, and thank you so much for your prayers. And we believe that God is going to do something special in this season, and we believe that the best is yet to come. And I'm excited today. We're going to start a brand new series of messages, and we're studying the book of James. And I love the book of James for so many reasons. It's one of the most practical books in all of the Bible. And so I want to encourage you, wherever you are, wherever you're watching today, go ahead and grab a Bible and turn to the New Testament book of James. And I'm looking forward over the next several weeks of studying this book of the Bible together. And one of the things that we want to do to kind of help tag along with this series is every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we're going to have a live devotional on Facebook Live and on Instagram Live. And those devotionals are going to be at 9 a.m. And we're going to be studying portions of the book of James during those devotionals as well. And so I want to encourage you to tune in to Facebook Live and Instagram Live. We're going to look forward to those devotionals together. So James chapter 1 is where we're going to be today, this morning. And I love the book of James. And many people have called the book of James the Proverbs of the New Testament. So many practical pieces of advice and so much wisdom packed into one book. And I love what one author said, E.J. Godspeed. He said, James is just a handful of pearls dropped one by one into the hearer's mind. And that is so true about the book of James. Just so much wisdom and so much practical insight and information for daily Christian living. And so we're going to jump right into James chapter number 1. And we're going to read verses 1 through 8 together this morning. And I want to bring a message that I'm calling this, Scattered but Strengthened. Scattered but Strengthened. And we'll start reading in James chapter number 1, verse number 1. The Bible says this, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And so wherever you're watching this morning, look to someone and say, joy. And I love that he says you can count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let's have a word of prayer together, and we'll jump into today's message. Father, thank you so much for the ability to worship and to listen to your word via technology and via live stream. And God, I just pray that everyone that's tuning in right now will be able to lean into your word. And God, I pray that we can hear a message today that would be directly from your word, that would be encouraging, that would be edifying for us, and God, even challenging and convicting. God, I pray that your word would just pierce through our hearts, that we can be doers of the word. And God, even in a season where we are scattered, even in a season where there is much suffering and where there is much anxiety and panic, God, I pray that we can experience the peace that passes all understanding that is promised in your word. And God, I pray that you would be with me today to give me the words that would be beneficial for our church family. And God, I pray that we can just leave our time together having a better understanding of what it is you would have us do. And we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Several years ago, I was really interested in the show Storage Wars. And Kate and I, we like to watch this show about these people that would go and bid on all these storage units that were abandoned. And they would go and they would bid on something, and they would find they would find something really interesting, and then they would go and sell it, and they would make a lot of profit on these storage units. Sometimes they would buy a unit for $500, and then they would find something interesting and go and sell the unit for $2,000. And so I like to tune in, and I like to watch that show, until I read an article, and I found out that the show was completely fake, and that they were just planting items in the storage units that weren't actually there to make the show more interesting. And when I found that out, when I found out that they were just planting items in the storage units and it wasn't actually really happening, I became very disinterested in that show because I knew that it wasn't authentic. I knew that it was not real. It wasn't genuine. And I believe today that so many people are turned off and they are disinterested in the church because they look to Christians and they say, that's not real. That's not genuine. I don't know if that's authentic. And they are disinterested in what God is doing, and they're disinterested in the church because they feel as though the church is hypocritical. Now, the Bible tells us much instruction about living a life of authenticity and a life of genuineness. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 18 says this, "Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly." And so the writer of Hebrews is saying, that's the prayer of my heart, and that's the prayer for all of us, is that we would be willing to live honestly, with sincerity, with some authenticity. Paul was writing to a young pastor named Timothy, and he challenged Timothy. He said, hey, in the end times, there's going to be some people that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. It looks good on the outside, but really they're lacking the power that they so desperately need. And so then we come to the book of James, and James is going to teach us how to live a life of authenticity. He's going to say, hey, this is what real faith is all about. Real, authentic faith. Real faith is a serving faith. Saving faith can always be verified by serving faith. And so James comes along and he says, hey, faith without works is dead. And this is how we live a life of authenticity, by activating our faith and by implementing the Bible into our daily lives. And so James is going to talk about real faith. And one of the things that he talks about right off the bat in chapter number one is trials and tribulations and suffering and pain. Because James recognizes that a life of following Jesus is not always going to be easy. There's going to be times of persecution. There's going to be times of challenge. And he's saying, hey, that's what real faith looks like. Real faith is not just prosperity and everything just lines up perfectly and our lives are just easy all the time. No, he says real faith, authentic faith, knows how to navigate seasons of uncertainty. And so today, as we come to these first eight verses, what I'd like to do is I'd like to look at four ways that we can grow strong even in a season of scattering. So four ways that we can grow strong even in a season where we are scattered from each other. Four ways. Number one today, I want to encourage you to take a look within. Take a look within. And we see this starting in James chapter 1. If you have your Bible, I want to encourage you to keep it open wherever you're watching today. And James chapter 1, verse number 1 says this, "James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ." And so we learn about the character here of James and really who James is. And I believe that if we're going to learn to be strong collectively as a church during this time, we have to learn to be strong independently and individually during this time. We have to first take a look within, take a look at how God is working in our lives and our character. And we learn this from James. We learn about his character in verse 1. It says, James, a servant of God. This was a very modest introduction to the letter. James could have introduced this letter many different ways. James could have said, James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ. James, the pastor at the large church at Jerusalem. James, the mighty prayer warrior. Some people had given James the nickname of camel knees because he was constantly on his knees praying to God. He was a prayer warrior. And so James could have started this letter many different ways, but he starts by saying, James, a servant. Now, we know that in the Greek, the word servant means doulos, and the word doulos is the idea of a bond slave. It's a slave. And so out of all the different ways that James could have introduced himself in this letter, he chooses the position of humility. He says, James, a servant of God. Now, I don't know about you, but if Jesus was my earthly brother, if Jesus was my half-brother like James, I think that I probably would have mentioned that from time to time. If someone was talking about Jesus, I would have said, oh, you're talking about Jesus? Yeah, I grew up with him. And yeah, I have a, he was in my family. Yeah, I think I would have brought that up. But James takes a position of humility and he says, James, a servant of God. And so I love his character and his humility here right in the first few words of this letter. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 3 says this, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." And so it's our calling, it's our responsibility as Christians to each esteem others better than ourselves. And we're to walk in humility and lift up other people. And so we see that James was a man of humility. We see his character. But I also want you to see his confidence in verse number 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, James, I'm a servant. That was his character. But then his confidence we see in of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love how he packages together God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What he's saying is essentially this, Jesus is God. What was James's confidence in? It wasn't himself. His confidence was in the fact that Jesus is God, the deity of Jesus Christ. Now, James did not always believe this. James did not always believe that Jesus was God. In fact, John chapter 7, verse number 5, it says this, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." And so the Bible tells us that his brothers did not even believe that he was God. And so his brothers didn't believe. But after Jesus died and rose again, everything changed for James. Because I love what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 7. After that, he was seen of James. Who was seen of James? Jesus, the resurrected Jesus. After that, he was seen of James, then of the apostles. And that changed everything for James. When he saw the resurrected Jesus, he believed and he said, man, Jesus is God. By the way, the resurrection changes everything for you and I as well. I'm so thankful today that we worship a God who has defeated sin, death, and the grave. And the resurrected Jesus changes everything for us. And so we see James had this confidence. He said, I'm a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. His confidence was in the fact that Jesus is who he says he is and Jesus is God. By the way, Jesus is still God. He is still seated at the right hand of the Father. And today, he is whom we have our confidence in. It's all in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we see his confidence. But I also want you to see his compassion. Because in verse number 1, it says this, James, a servant of God, that's his character. And of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's his confidence. But then we see, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. And so we learn here that the church at Jerusalem was scattered abroad. And the reason they were scattered abroad is because they were experiencing great persecution during this time. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 8, verse number 1, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And so what we see is the early church was scattered abroad, and they were forced out of their homes, and they were forced into all different places because of this persecution. Now, for us today, we are also scattered abroad. We're not able to gather together in one location because of this virus. And I'm believing that we're going to be able to gather again very soon. But we are scattered and we're supposed to stay in our homes. But this early church, they were scattered and they were being forced from their homes. But they were scattered. And this would have been a major inconvenience. This obviously would have been a major trial, a major difficulty. But I want you to know today, and please hear me wherever you're listening, this scattering was actually a good thing. Because it was through this scattering that the gospel was able to spread like never before to Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. The gospel was being advanced and it was spreading like a wildfire because of the persecution that was taking place. That they were scattered abroad. Now, remember what Jesus said. Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. The only way that we can effectively be the salt of the earth is if the salt gets out of the salt shaker. Is if the salt gets out of the shaker. And I believe that Jesus today, right now, this morning, in this season, is calling us to be the salt of the earth. And we've got to be willing to get out of our comfort zone, to get out of the salt shaker, and to go out into the highways and hedges and tell people about Jesus. And in this season, that might mean sharing a YouTube link. That might mean sharing a Facebook Live link. That might be extending a text message. It might mean joining a Zoom small group. But hey, we're not going to let this season hold us back. We're going to let this season of scattering be a blessing and a good thing to further the work of the ministry. And so we see that James had compassion for the early church because he cared about them. He loved them and they were scattered and he knew that they were going through a difficult season. But I love what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. I'm thankful that we worship the God of all comfort, not just a little bit, but all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Hey, I just want to encourage you. God comforts us so that we might comfort others. And I want to encourage you today to be a person that seeks to comfort other people in your life. Now, this brings us to our second thought. Number one, we have to take a look within. If we're going to be stronger through this season of scattering, we have to first take a look within. Do I have character? Do I have compassion for others? Do I have confidence in Jesus? But this leads us to our second thought today. Number two, take control of your perspective. We have to take control of our perspective. So often when we're going through a difficult season, our perspective is all over the place and we start to be filled with anxiety and worry and doubt, and we start to operate by fear, and we have the wrong perspective. But really, James tells us that as Christians with real, authentic faith, we can have a different perspective on seasons of difficulty. And there are two things that I want to make mention of. The first thing is that through seasons of difficulty, James tells us we can actually experience joy. Notice verse number two. It says this in James chapter 1, verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And so James says, hey, count it all joy. Now, we know that the word count is a mathematical term. He's saying, hey, count it up. When you work on a math problem, you're working on the problem, and you're working through the numbers, and you're crunching the numbers, but you know that an answer is coming. And so you know that an answer is coming. You're going to count these things because an answer is coming. And a lot of times what happens when we're in a season of difficulty, we're focusing on the problem, but we forget that there is hope coming. We forget that something good is coming. And so James says, count it all joy. Look ahead. Look ahead to the fact that you have a home in heaven. Look ahead to the fact that you have a God that loves you. Look ahead to the fact that you have a hope and an anchor for your soul. And so we can count it all joy because of what Jesus has done for us. That doesn't mean that we always have joy for the difficulty, but it does mean that we can have joy through the difficulty. And we know that the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. We don't go through a season of suffering or a season of hurting and think, man, this is just awesome. It's grievous. It's not always joyous. But what we know is that we can have joy through it, because our joy is not anchored to a circumstance. Our joy is anchored to Jesus Christ. And so we can experience joy. But not only can we experience joy, we also should expect difficulty. We should expect it. And this kind of goes against what many people might think and believe today about Christianity. But the reality is James says, hey, we ought to expect difficulty. He says this in verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. When? He doesn't say if it's going to happen. He says when. It's going to happen. He says, hey, we can expect difficulty. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And so we can anticipate the affliction that comes our way. And if we learn to anticipate that affliction, we'll be anchored and we'll have stability even in the midst of that affliction. 1 Peter 4 says this, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And so Peter says, hey, don't be surprised by this. Don't be shocked by this. God is going to work through this. And so we can experience joy, but we have to expect difficulty. And that's the perspective that we ought to have. And so number one today, take a look within. Take a look within. Number two, take control of your perspective. Here's the third thought. Number three, take advantage of the season. Take advantage of the season. And I just want to encourage you today, take advantage of the season that God has us in. And James is going to tell us, hey, there's three benefits to going through a difficult season. There's three advantages of going through a season of scattering or a season of suffering. The first one is this, endurance. The first benefit that we can have is endurance. Notice verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. He says, hey, know this, that this scattering season, this persecution that you're going through, just know this, it's going to work patience in your life. The word patience in that verse means endurance, steadfastness, constancy, endurance. Romans chapter 5, verse number 3 says this, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that the tribulations worketh patience. And so if we have the right perspective, going into a difficulty, we can actually notice that there are advantages in the difficulty. And one of the advantages is we're going to have endurance. We're going to be strengthened through this season. The last several months, I've been trying my best to to work out. And now all the gyms are closed in this season that we're in. but for the last several months, I've been doing my best to exercise and to try to stay healthy and eat healthy. And I've been running at the gym. And sometimes when I go to the gym, there's certain days. And some days are strength days. Some days are power days. Some days are endurance days. And I always dread the endurance days because endurance essentially means you're going to get on a treadmill and you're going to run for a really long time without stopping. And normally we don't like endurance. But endurance is a wonderful thing when we learn to harness the power of endurance that we can just keep on going. Because make no mistake about it, Paul compares, the author of Hebrews compares the Christian life to a race. And the race that we are running is not a sprint, it's a marathon. I think it's much better to run for a short period of time and then, oh, okay, I can take a break and I can take a rest and then I'll run hard for a little. But the idea is that the Christian life is a marathon, that we're to continually run and push forward in the calling that God has for us. And we're going to need endurance. I don't know about you, but when I come to the end of my life and when I'm old and in a wheelchair, I want to be able to say, man, I gave it everything that I had and I had some endurance. I don't want to just say I did good for a little bit and then I failed and faltered. I want to have endurance. And James says that trials can actually develop that endurance in you. Notice verse number 4. It says this, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And so the next advantage that we have in a trial is not only endurance, but we can also have maturity. We'll grow in maturity. And I love that he says, you'll be perfect and entire. Those words carry the connotation of completeness, of maturity. You're going to grow in your spiritual maturity. And I believe in this season, God wants to grow your spiritual maturity. So often people will grow up, and they will grow old. They will grow old, but they will not grow up spiritually. And I believe we ought to grow in spiritual maturity. Several years ago, I read this story. Actually, I saw it on a documentary. It was about this man who was 31 years old. His name was Stanley Thornton. And he was obsessed with living life like a baby. And I think it was one of those shows that was like My Strange Addictions or something like that. And this man, Stanley, was 31, but he loved to live life like a baby. And this is what he said, kind of a disturbing quote, really, but this is what he said. He said, I feel like when I'm wearing a diaper, it's like getting a constant hug from my mommy. I think about being a baby every day. It's a big part of my life. I feel like having a crib is the most important thing. I like that they have bars which signify safety. And we can read a story like that. We can hear about Stanley and we can think, man, that guy has got some real issues, right? Because he doesn't want to grow up. He doesn't want to take responsibility. He's got some major problems that he needs to work through. But so often spiritually, we stay content to kind of hang out in the kiddie pool. And we never explore the riches of God's word, and we never really dive deep into God's word and seek to know Christ with everything that we have. Paul said in Philippians, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul said, that's the most important thing, is knowing Jesus and learning spiritual maturity. 1 Peter 5:10 says this, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. And so what's an advantage of going through a difficult season? Well, we're going to have endurance, but we're also going to develop maturity that will stabilize us so that when the storms of life come and when difficulties come, we're going to have some deep roots that'll hold strong even in those seasons. But also, there's a third benefit, there's a third advantage to a difficult season, and that is that we can grow in contentment. We can grow in contentment. And so we'll gain endurance, we'll gain maturity, but we'll also gain contentment. Because at the end of verse number 4, it says this, that ye may be perfect and entire, mature, verse 4, wanting nothing. He says, hey, one thing you can learn through a difficult season is just to establish some contentment in your life to where you're not always wanting what's next and always needing something new, but that you can be content with the things that God has given you in this season. The Bible says this in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Paul was writing from a prison cell, and he said, hey, whatever state I'm in, whatever season I'm in, I've learned to just be content. And sometimes God is going to take us through the school of suffering, and we're going to learn some things through that time. We're going to learn some things through this scattering, and we're going to gain some things. We're going to gain some advantages, and one of those advantages is contentment. And this leads us to our fourth and final thought today. And looking forward to this fourth and final thought. Number 4 is this, take hold of what God has promised you. Take hold of what God has promised you. And so number 1, we've got to take a look within. Number 2, we have to take control of our attitude, of our perspective. Number three, we have to take advantage of the season. But number four, take hold of what God has promised you. And I believe that this involves two things. Notice verse number five, we see the promise. It says this, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What a wonderful promise that we have in the Word of God, that if you lack wisdom and you want wisdom, and we all lack wisdom and we all should want wisdom, God says, I'll give it to you. I'm not gonna hold back. I'm not gonna be stingy with the amount of wisdom I'll give to you. But he says, hey, during a difficult season, I'll give you wisdom. I'll give you discernment that we so desperately need. And so often when we're going through a difficult season, we tend to make poor decisions because we're experiencing discomfort, because we don't like our current circumstances. We'll tend to make decisions that we'll regret in the future. And so that's why it's so imperative that in a season of scattering, in a season of suffering, that we tap into the wisdom that God promises and that God promises he will provide for us. And so we see that wisdom is so vitally important in this promise that God has for us. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 11 says this, for wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. And so I want to encourage you today to pray and seek God's face. And today, ask him for wisdom. Today at the end of this message, ask him for wisdom. Hey, tomorrow before you go to work or before you stay at home, hey, ask God for wisdom because we so desperately need wisdom. And so there's the promise of wisdom, but then there's a prerequisite to wisdom. Because notice what it says in verse number 6. But let him ask in faith. So the promise is you can have wisdom, but here's the prerequisite. You have to ask in faith. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so here's what James is saying. Hey, ask God. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you what you need. But you have to pray. You have to ask in faith, believing. We can't waver back and forth between faith and fear and constantly doubting. And no, we have to ask believing and stretch our faith and believe that God will provide for us in our season of need. I just want to tell you today, the answer from God depends on your assurance in God. If you have faith in him, if you are asking in faith. I want to close with this story that I read really several years ago that's always stood out to me. And it's a story that takes place in the 1800s about a little boy in France. His name was Louis. And Louis loved to watch his dad work. His dad was a harness maker, a leather maker, and he would kind of put things together and had different tools. And Louis wanted to be just like his dad when he grew up. And so he asked his dad one day, can I work in the shop? And his dad said, sure. And so Louis took some tools, and one of the tools that he grabbed was this hole puncher, and he went to go and punch a hole in the leather, but the tool slipped out of his hand and it pierced him right in the eye. And Louis at the time was just 9 years old, and it pierced him in his eye. And so they rushed him to the doctor, and they diagnosed very quickly that he had lost all sight in that eye. And then a few days later, he lost sight in his other eye, becoming completely blind. And as you can imagine, his family was devastated. He was devastated. Their 9-year-old son just lost his sight. And so they were going through a difficult season. And one day, Louis was sitting in his family's garden and someone handed him a pine cone. And he took the pine cone and he started to hold it. And he started to realize that his fingers were sensitive to the points of the prickly pine cone. And as he realized that his fingers were sensitive to that, he had an idea. And he immediately went into his room and he started to create on paper some raised dots on paper that you could actually make an alphabet with. And that little boy was Louis Braille. And because of his tragedy, he opened up a whole new world for blind people to be able to read and to be able to have understanding in their own alphabet. And see, he took a tragedy, he took a trial, an inconvenience, a difficult season, but God turned it around for good. And I just want to encourage you today that even though God has us in a difficult season and maybe you're going through a hard time today, that God can work all things together for good. And I love what Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. And so I'm so thankful for that truth today. Hey, we might be scattered, but we can be strengthened. We can be strong even through this season. Let's have a word of prayer together this morning.